Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Debt limit talks now on hold after House Speaker Kevin McCarthy said it is time to pause negotiations.
Yeah, time is running out, though, to avoid potentially disastrous economic problems. But do we even have a debt limit, and why do we have one in the first place? Here to explain is Jonathan Bidlack, who's director of the Governance Program at the R Street Institute. Jonathan, how you doing?
I'm great. Thanks for having me.
So I remember when I was a kid and I needed money, and I'd go to like my mom and she'd give me pretty much whatever she thought I needed, but there was no actual, you know, defined limit. It was only when I got older and I had to deal with banks and credit cards that you have to start worrying about, you know, am I going to exceed my credit limit? When our country was much, much younger, we didn't have a debt ceiling, did we?
Well, you did. You know, the debt limit has been around since 1917. It dates back to World War I. You know, in a nutshell, Congress basically got tired of having to approve every bond issuance that Treasury wanted to do or needed to do during the war. And so instead of having to approve everyone individually, they basically said, okay, you have permission to issue debt up until this point. And if you want to go beyond this point, then come back to us. But I think to your point, I mean, while it may have existed in the past, it's obviously become much more of a political lightning rod in recent decades.
Right. So political lightning rod, but really it only becomes a problem. It only gets held hostage when you have one party in control of the White House and the other party in control of the House. So it doesn't appear to be a problem when both parties are in control. They just do what they want to do because they all agree with each other and they like what they're doing. What would happen if we stopped having this debt limit in place? Would that solve the problem of always holding it hostage and always it being a political fight every time it comes up? Or would it make things worse if we didn't have one?
Yeah, it's a great question. I mean, you know, most countries don't have a debt limit process like this at all. In fact, there's only one other country that I know of, which is Denmark. And, you know, their limit isn't even anywhere close. So they don't even really butt up against it like we do. You know, there are some countries that do limit their debt. But what most countries do, or at least what most smart countries do, is they actually restrict their spending sort of based on their expected tax revenue. So, you know, they basically say, okay, we're not going to spend beyond a certain amount based on how much revenue we expect to come in, rather than what we do, where we basically say, spend whatever you want. And then when the bill comes due, we have this fight over essentially whether or not we're going to pay it. And so, you know, I think it's kind of backwards. I think that there are lessons to be learned from what some other countries do. You know, Sweden, Switzerland, and so on have been really effective at managing their finances this way. A lot of states have been really effective at managing their finances that way. I mean, Colorado and Oregon, for example, both have similar versions. So, you know, I do think the federal government does this kind of backwards, and we're in this really unfortunate situation as a result.
You know, you mentioned 1917 as sort of the baseline when we started having debt limits because of World War I. But of course, the country had a 100-plus-year history prior to that. So how did we get along then? And I get it that we were a smaller country, we were more agrarian, we didn't have nearly the financial issues that face the country and the world now. But still, how did we get along for 100-plus years?
Yeah, I mean, basically what happened was that whenever there was a need to borrow, which is to say Treasury needed to issue bonds, Congress just approved them on an as-needed basis. You know, obviously in the context of war, where you're typically borrowing a lot more, obviously World War I and then later World War II, you know, that sort of creates a different dynamic where essentially Congress was then having to spend an increasing amount of their time just on approving these bond issuances. And so it's kind of interesting because if you think about it, I mean, the whole original purpose of the debt limit was actually to facilitate additional debt But today we sort of ironically take it as this check on, you know, growing government or increasing spending and increasing debt. And so in many ways, we've kind of, I think, perverted what the initial, you know, initial purpose was.
We're always talking about raising the debt limit. Has there ever been a time the country's lowered it?
Yes, but not in a very long time. I mean, you know, again, I mean, I think the other point to make here is that, you know, the fights over the debt limit correspond very much with what we're spending at the time. And part of the reason that we're finding ourselves in this situation where we're, you know, constantly bumping up against the debt limit is because we're increasing our spending in a pretty much an exponential way. I mean, in the last, you know, 3 years, for example, we have presidents of both parties, President Trump first, the Republican, and then now President Biden, the Democrat, who spent very aggressively in response to the COVID-19 pandemic. And so, you know, when you're spending like that, you know, unless Congress is going to go and raise the debt limit by really dramatic amounts, you're sort of going to have these situations come up on a more frequent basis because you have many more expenditures and therefore are borrowing to pay for them.
Jonathan Bidlack, thank you so much for joining us. Director of the Governance Program at the R Street Institute.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.